Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know what we do here. We provide you the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to get anywhere. And this week will be no different. We've got a lot of things lined up for you. Hey, during this first hour, we're going to talk about gutters. That's something that we talk about a lot. The gutter guards, different things that you may need to do to your gutters to make them work a little bit better. Also, battling mold is another thing we talk about quite a bit. Also, we're going to look at some ways to improve the look of a concrete slab you may have around your home. And also, we're going to knock out a lot of the emails that we received this week. And we wanted you to know exactly how to reach out to us. You can pick up the phone right now. 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. I'm Danny Lipford, and I'm awfully proud each and every week to have my friend Joe Truini as my co-host.
Well, thank you, Danny. I'm proud to be here too. I love being on a radio. Danny and I often mention that being on a radio is one of the favorite times of the week for us. We can kick back, relax. We're sort of sequestered in our studios. Danny's down in Alabama, up in Connecticut, but we see each other via Zoom here, along with Dennis, our engineer. So we're ready to start taking some calls and putting out some information that, well, it's autumn, right? I mean, here we are, it's the first week of October, so it's been autumn for a couple weeks. So I think, Danny, most people are starting to move indoors. So I certainly am, maybe a little before you are. You know, you're, and I still have nice weather down there, but it's getting cool up here in New England, so it's time to talk about the fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And we were actually experiencing some of the best weather of the entire year right now. So that means around my house is always an air out day. I talked about this a week or two ago and how I used to drive my girls crazy with it, because it just makes me feel good when I can open up the doors, maybe put something there, you know, prop them open and so forth, open up as many windows. You get that cross ventilation in it. And, you know, I knew it always made me feel good, but I started looking at some of the advantages of doing that. That very thing. You know, you can get rid of a lot of this, and this is even airing out as little as 15 minutes. You can get rid of a lot of the stale air we all have in our homes, and you can avoid mold growth because you're, you know, when it's nice outside, your humidity is also lower. You can bring in the sunshine, reduce condensation. You can save on your power costs because you can just turn off everything, and also it just leads to better health, because a lot of times, you know, people. You hear a lot about the air inside your home being 6 to 8 times more polluted than outside. So all of this is a positive thing. But Joe, if you have no screens or screens that got tears in them or they're just dirty, there's a little work to be done there.
Yeah, well, you should probably be putting away your screens for the winter anyway, you know, because as the weather gets colder, there aren't going to be any, you know, much fewer bugs out. And, you know, so, and plus, I love taking out the screens only because you have such a nice view out the window. It's amazing how much a screen obstructs the view. You don't realize it, you know, once they're in and they've been in for a while, but when you take them out, it's almost like you're replacing plywood with glass. I mean, I suddenly can see the backyard, which it looks great. So take them out, and that's a good time to clean them and make any repairs. And I think I shared a simple solution on this, Danny, but if you have just a tiny hole or a very tiny tear, you can actually bridge that gap and seal it up with clear nail polish. You can actually buy clear nail polish and you just brush it on a light coat on one side, let it dry. And what that does is it fills in the holes a little bit in the screen itself, and then do the same thing on the back side, and you basically can seal it up. With a bigger tear, I mean, I've seen a lot of repair kits, but really at that point, I'd prefer just to remove the screen and replace
definitely.
It. You know, because first of all, the patch looks worse than the hole. But anyway, if you're going to store them away, clean them first. It's much better to clean the screens before you put them away. I know it's easy to just put them away and I'll clean them in the spring. But the spring comes, you're looking at them like, oh, I should have cleaned these in the fall. So clean them now and store them away safely. So, yeah, I mean, taking care of your screens now, it's going to go a long way come next spring and summer when you need to put them back in the windows.
It's also a good time, you know, while you have that window open, and you may have had a little difficulty opening that window. So a great time to look at any paint that might be causing some resistance on that window and remove it. Maybe a little lubrication here and there on the tracks are going to make it easier for you, because it's like anything else. If it's easy to do, you'll do it more often. And the more air that you can get inside your home, fresh air inside your home, the better. So, and I'll tell you what, another thing, something I figured out a few years ago in dealing with one of the companies that create a lot of different lubricants for your home. There's not just that one can that we all try to use for everything that's going to adequately lubricate the different moving parts you have around your home. So you might consider getting three or four different lubricants. You might get, for any of the locks, you're going to want to use graphite. You don't want to use WD-40, these multi-purpose type of lubrications. You do not want to use that. It's going to cause you more problems down the road. First, initially it might be okay, but it's going to cause you some accumulation problems later on. So graphite for that. And then, Joe, when we're trying to quieten down those garage doors, which get so quiet, loud, then, right, of course, we want to use the lithium, white lithium grease. It's always the best to use for that.
Yeah, lubricating garage doors, the one mistake people make is they lubricate the tracks, which seems to make sense, right? Because the rollers, the rollers on the end of the door roll in this track. But you should not lubricate the tracks, because that could cause the door to slip, which you want to lubricate, because that's not a moving part either, by the way. Mm-hmm. You want to lubricate the moving parts. You want to lubricate the wheels, any bearings in it. And if you have a torsion spring, which goes horizontally across the top of the door, there are bearings on each end. You want to lubricate that. And if you have a really noisy garage door opener, sometimes if you have a room above it, you can hear the vibration. They do make, I think they're just called dampeners. They're vibration dampeners. They're basically just thick rubber pieces that you put between the top, wherever the metal straps mount to the ceiling of the garage. You disconnect it and you put these rubber dampeners in between. Mm-hmm. And they hang from, they're only like 2 inches long. But what they do is they isolate the connection between the metal bracket on the ceiling and the metal strap hanging the opener, and it absorbs that vibration. And you'd be surprised how much vibration and sound that can eliminate, especially, like I said, if you have a living space above.
Yeah, I've heard the air conditioning guys refer to those as sound isolators.
Yeah, I think that might be another name, right.
Use them a lot in attic spaces where there may have some vibration and that type of thing. But also, you have a lot of moving parts around the house. If you have a stubborn lock here and there, it's great to lubricate that. You also, any of your gates that you have, it's a good time to get all of those working really, really well. And also, we want to remind you, and we share with you about our four seasons of home ownership. The fall list is online right now. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/four seasons, and you'll see our list of pretty modest projects to do around your house during this time of the year. And it's just things that you might not think about. Some of them are only 5 minute long and maybe cost you $5 to get them done, but it certainly is going to be better to go ahead and maintain your home like you should and to make it work really well. Joe, let me tell you, occasionally, and I bet you've had this situation before.
What's
maybe
that?
It's your wife, maybe it's someone else that will say, okay, big home improvement expert, I've got this problem here. What do you do?
Well, I give my wife your phone number. That's what I do.
well, I remind them about Google.com. But we had a situation where I've only been in this house about a year and a half, and one of the toilets had where the bowl didn't have much water in it, and when you would flush,
right,
a little mini Old Faithful would just shoot straight up out of there.
Really?
Water would shoot straight up out. And, enough that it would go over on the floor.
So you have a bidet.
And,
good for you.
Yeah, it's very similar to a bidet. So I said, well, let me look at it. Okay, let me look at it. We've got three other toilets to use. Leave that one alone. So sure enough, as soon as I took the lid off the tank itself,
right,
there was the small hose that's supposed to go down into, the drain to fill the bowl up had come loose somehow.
Oh.
It just vibration, whatever, the water pressure had come loose. So I put it right back in. Now we're talking about approximately 5 seconds worth of work.
Right.
So I don't think I would get the, you know, satisfaction of, you know, so I kind of hung out in there for a little while.
Yeah, you wouldn't get the glory.
Made a little noise, bumped a few things, act like I was going out in my truck to get some tools and
this darn thing.
I may have to go to the home center, honey. And anyway, it actually took 5 seconds to do. And then I said, come here. And then I flushed it, and it flushed just nice and clean, just like it should. And once again, I'm the handy hero of my house. So
what you have to do, though, is then show your wife or your daughter, whoever that saw this problem, how you repaired it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's too simple. I want them to think I recalibrated and rebuilt the entire mechanism.
Honey, I'm going to be late for dinner. I'm still working on the toilet.
If I'd have thought about it, I'd have put me a little headlamp on. That would have been a good accessory, you know. So, hey, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner Radio. Hey, we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to share with you some really cool things that I guarantee you can use at your house this weekend. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get same-day delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This heard coast to coast on some awesome stations like WCMT FM 99.7 in Fulton, Tennessee. Special hello to my friend and president and GM, Paul Tinkle. Have not seen you in a while, Paul. Hope everything is going well for you, and look forward to the next time we hang out and talk a little bit about radio and everybody in that Tennessee part of the country. We certainly get a lot of emails, a lot of phone calls from you. Want to encourage you to keep that going. You can reach us at 800-946-4420. That's the Today's Homeowner hotline. Or send us an email anytime. todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we want to check in with Kyra, who has got a little issue with her gutter. Welcome to the show, and how can we help you? Tell us what's going on around your house.
Hello. Well, we've moved into our forever home. Mm-hmm. We've completed the inside. Now we're working on the outside. And we realize we have a gutter, not drainage issue, but water issue. In the back patio area, it's a U-shape. There's a drain spout on each end, and there appears to be a diverter in the corners. However, the water is pouring over those diverters, especially on one side. And my husband put a level to it and realized that they're level, which we, after looking at YouTube videos, realized it shouldn't be. So we're at a loss on how to fix it.
Okay. So basically in the valley area of the U-shape, that water and the velocity of that water is just coming down the valley, and just the diverter or the splash guard is just not diverting it into the gutter itself. Does that seem to be the right way it's happening?
That's correct, especially in one corner.
Okay. Well, there's several things there that I've seen. A lot of times in the valley itself, do you have valley metal that's there, or are the shingles laced in together?
The shingles are laced in together.
Okay. A lot of times what you can do is very carefully cut the shingle back right at the bottom of the valley. A lot of times the roofer, you know, maybe meaning well, allows the shingles right there to extend out just a little bit. And often that pushes the water, that allows that water when it's coming down the valley to jump over the diverter. So a lot of times you can just take a roofing knife or a razor knife and carefully cut back that right in the corner to really make it create an inside corner, and that will allow the water to drop into the gutters much quicker and take away a lot of that velocity that's causing it to spill out like that. Now, while you're doing it, it's probably also good to get some roofing cement in a tube and go ahead and caulk anything that you have under that shingle just to make sure that the water doesn't roll back under that bottom of the valley. But a lot of times that's all that's needed. Other times you may have to slightly increase the size of the diverter in order to hold that water back a little bit. You just don't want to cause a situation where you're almost damming the water up underneath the shingles there. But generally, just a little finessing right there is all that's really necessary on that.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds simple enough. We'll give it a try.
Just be careful on that ladder, and make sure you have a good sharp knife. And by all means, anytime you're on a ladder or on a roof, take your time. We don't want to hear the ambulance in the background. So,
oh no, that we don't.
Okay, well, thanks so much. I hope we were able to help you there, and thanks for being a part of the show today.
Okay, thank you, and you have a good day as well.
All righty. Thank you. Joe, you know exactly what she was talking about with that.
Sure.
The valley. That I was asking about whether the shingles were laced in or it was metal, because when you have a metal valley, which is perfectly acceptable, but when you have that and it's 20 or 30 feet long, that water's gaining some speed by the time it gets to the bottom of that, whereas shingles will kind of slow it down a little bit. But I think that's probably what she's experiencing, because a lot of times when you get up and look into a gutter, whether it's a valley area or just a straight run, a lot of times those shingles, you've got your eave strip that's sticking out a little bit, then you've got your shingle overlapping maybe 3/4 or an inch beyond that.
Right.
Sometimes that doesn't leave a whole lot of gutter left.
Yeah, and with the valleys, like you said, if it's metal, it's often just a piece of aluminum flashing that goes at full length, and water hits it. It's like a water slide, where if you have a woven valley, the shingles can slow it down. But the other thing that happens in the gutters are all the granules, especially on a new roof, all those granules will come off and settle in the bottom of the gutter. And not only is it wet and heavy, but it can build up, and that alone can cause water to, not flow very quickly. And she said that they put a level on it. I assume she meant the gutters were level.
Yeah, that's right.
Which, of course, that's an issue, too, because you want the water to move. And she said there's a downspout on each end, so this sounds like a long run of gutter, which should be pitched in both directions, high in the middle.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And usually, generally, they say you should have at least a half inch of pitch per 10 foot. So that's just a general guideline. But yeah, if you can pitch it at least half inch, that water's going to move. But if it's level, that's going to collect enough stuff and water, it's going to rip it right off the house sooner or later. So they should take care of that and repitch that gutter.
And another thing, this is a great time of the year to really look at that, because your gutters are going to be really tested when all of those leaves start falling. So it's a good time to make sure that they're ready for all of the work that's taking place. Hey, Joe, I had a note here from a listener from a couple weeks ago. And, of course, anytime we talk about paint tips, people are always paying attention and interested.
Right.
Now, we were talking about several different ways. We had a caller, if you remember, talking about pouring, how the old gallon cans that you, and they're still that way a lot, you open them up and it's just hard to pour them out. You offered, this listener wanted you to repeat some of the ideas you had as far as making that a little easier to go from that gallon jug or gallon can of paint into the paint tray.
Yeah, pouring paint from a gallon, there's no way to do it neatly, it seems, especially a brand new gallon, because it's filled right to the very brim. And I suggested you could buy a couple of different items that you can snap on. Some of them are just little spouts that, not even a spout, it just looks like, I think I refer to it as the visor of a cap. It kind of looks like that. You snap it on. But I had recommended one, and I couldn't think of the name of it, but I looked it up, and I do now know the name. It's called, the company's called Sureline, and that's spelled S-H-U-R line, Sureline Pour and Store paint can spout. And what I like about it, it's a flexible rubber spout that snaps down over the entire can, and it has a flexible spout sticking out of it with a little snap-on cap. So you can put it on, close it, and it seals up the paint can. And then, you know, when you want to pour, you just pop open that little cap and pour it. And it only costs, I think, like $4. So I bought one of those, and it works great. And Danny, while I was looking at that up, I found a new product, brand new, which I'd never seen before. It's a little over-engineered for my my taste. It's called the Mixing Mate Paint Lid. And this is the craziest thing. It snaps onto the paint can, and it has a spout and has a handle. And you pour the paint, almost like if you can imagine pouring, like using a coffee maker. You know, you take the carafe out of the coffee maker and you pour a cup of coffee. It looks just like that, but it's a gallon of paint. But protruding from the top of this thing is a hand crank, and below are mixing paddles. So you snap this onto your can of paint, and you turn the crank, and it mixes the paint. And then you just, then you open up the spout and you just pour it, like pouring a cup of coffee. Wow. Now, the downside is prices for this thing range from like $20 to $30, which seems like, since they're giving you a paint stick for free, it's like, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is more for a professional. But it's pretty, it's very interesting design and really nicely made. But I just, and again, it's called a Mixing Mate Paint Lid Stirrer or something like that. It's pretty interesting.
Wow. There's always something new coming out, particularly to make painting around the house a little easier, because that's really the number one home improvement project. It makes such a difference for such a little bit of money, and a lot of different ways that you can make it a little easier. And I'll tell you what, if you want to go to todayshomeowner.com and then put in our search engine paint tips, you will have a lot of reading and viewing of the videos to make your next paint job a lot easier. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipp, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we've got a lot more information to share with you, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our best new product segment brought to you by the Home Depot, How Doers Get More Done. Now, if you've owned a home for any length of time, you probably have run up against a sticking door. Over the time, wood will swell and the door starts rubbing on the jamb, and before long, it's sticking, and that can be so aggravating. Now, usually removing the door from the hinges and planing down the edges is the best solution, but a hand plane is hard work, and power planers are pretty expensive for just a door here and there. So Ryobi has made that a lot easier with this wood door trimmer. Now, this unique trimmer simply chucks into a standard drill, so no need for sanders or planers, and it works on both 1 3/4 inch doors as well as 1 3/8 inch doors, removing up to 1/32nd of an inch per pass, so it won't take you long to correct that aggravating door. And the door can stay right on the hinges, saving you a lot of time and effort. So to get yours today, head on over to your local Home Depot or get it online at thehomedepot.com.
That sounds really cool.
I could have used that last week, Joe. I was working my house that I'm, one of my houses I'm about to sell, the very first house I ever bought 43 years ago.
Right.
And the front door was stubborn. You know, it had the top of it was sticking. Well, you know, I thought, okay, a little settling here, you know, maybe I can do that. I ended up using an old timey hand rasp that I had. I always loved those old hand rasps. And I was able to, you know, get up on a little ladder and just cut just enough of it off so that it works. But of course, what we tell people all the time, you can minimize this type of expansion and contraction by remembering there are six sides to every door. You have your front, you have your back, you have your edges, but you also have a top and bottom, and nobody seals those darn things.
Right.
And that's where the moisture is more susceptible to getting into the door and causing that seasonal swelling. So right now, this paint, this door has it all sealed up. I'm not going to be doing that again.
Oh, good. Well, this Ryobi door trimmer sounds pretty cool. I guess it's like a little shaver that you slide. I haven't seen this. I don't know what it looks like, but yeah, it sounds like a really quick and easy way to do it. And Yeah, and even if you have a metal door, the metal doors, like I have a metal door in the front of our house, but the frame within those two sheets of metal is wood. So
that's
that
right.
Wood will swell. You might wonder, well, how's the metal door swelling? Well, it's not, but it's the wood frame within the metal that is swelling, and that would have to get trimmed back as well.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty interesting tool there. All right, let's get back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We encourage you to give us a call anytime, 800-946-4420. That's what John from Utah did. John, welcome to the show, and tell us what's going on around your house there.
Oh, thank you, Danny. Yeah, so we had bought a house a few years back, and the house actually had central air already connected to it. And then it also had the swamp cooler still on the roof, so they never took that down. And over the years, it's become a real eyesore because it's just all rusted now. And my wife's ready to get rid of that. Now, the question I have is there a way that you can get rid of a swamp cooler without having to redo your roof? So is there a way to, like, cap off the vent?
Okay. All right. Well, great question. And, Joe, you know, one of the first things I think about is a piece of material that we used a while back was a 4x8 sheet that looked just like red bricks. And so John could take this piece, this right. material, and cover the swamp cooler, and it would look like a chimney. What do you think? That would look good.
What about Santa Claus, though?
No, John, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Now, just to make sure everybody that's listening understands what a swamp cooler is, which is a very common term.
Sounds like something you'd see at tailgates at the University of Alabama football games.
No. That's not the kind of swamp cooler. Actually, you probably can't find one anywhere in the Southeast. You're going to find them more in, you know, areas that are very low humidity because they simply wouldn't work in other areas of the country. So Utah and all over California and certainly Arizona and all of that. But you know, they still work to a degree. But if one's sitting up on your roof just rusting like that, I would want to get rid of it as well. Now, the footprint of those probably are only maybe little over 2 foot by 2 foot, I would think. Is that about the size of it? 2 foot by 2 foot?
Yeah, I would say that's about accurate.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of roofing do you have? Shingles or metal roof? What kind?
I have shingles, yep.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, it's not a hard project at all to remove it completely. And, I mean, you know, you don't care about salvaging it, so you could actually use a reciprocating saw or an abrasive blade. You could be fairly aggressive in getting rid of that top section of it that would allow you to then complete that decking. The only problem is you just can't match those shingles is the only thing. So I don't know how visible the new shingles would be, you know, from the ground, from the street and so forth. But if you're in a situation that you could, you know, hide, you know, where the new shingles wouldn't show up as much, then that's what I would do so that your roof is all nice and tight and you have all of that material completely out of there. Joe, any thoughts that you'd have on that?
Yeah, John, I would do the same thing. If you're getting rid of this, you might as well just cut it out, patch the roof, and put in some shingles. The new shingles might not match exactly, but over time, maybe they'll weather and match it, rather than just capping it off and then still having that vent to deal with, you know, with snow and rain and everything else. I would just cap it off. But interestingly, John, Danny's right. Swamp coolers are pretty rare. Only 2% of homes nationwide have them. But in the Rocky Mountains, 25% of homes have them because of the type of climate. And you must have a similar climate. And swamp coolers date back, Danny, to ancient Egypt. It was 3,000 BC. So we're talking about like 5,000 years ago.
Look at old Joe the History Man. How about that?
I remember reading that one time. But they would just hang wet towels because all a swamp cooler, for people who aren't familiar, is an evaporative cooler. And it basically just adds moisture to the air. It's not really cooling air, it just adds moisture. So the ancient Egyptians realized if you just hang wet blankets in front of a window, when the wind blows through, it cools the room.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty interesting, right?
But I think that's the way I would approach it, John. You might, you know, if you need to get a roofer, it would be something that
or an
be a
Egyptian.
Very simple roofing job there and an Egyptian roofer to help you out on that and be able to take care of that. But I think that's what we would recommend.
All right. Well, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay, our pleasure, John, and thanks for being a part of the show today. Hey, we want to hear from you. If you have any kind of question at all, we deal with all kinds of things here on Today's Homeowner. So give us a call, 800-946-4420, or you can send us that email, todayshomeowner.com. ask. Hey, when we come back, we're going to be talking about one of these topics we talk about a lot, and that's mold. There's mold can happen under your house, in the attic, inside and out, including one that we're about to tackle, a problem deck that just can't get rid of the mold. We're going to try to tackle that and give our opinion on how to take care of that challenge this homeowner's having. All of that and more coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio.
What can you do with one bag of Quikrete? Create your masterpiece and enter it into the Quikrete One Bag Wonder Contest for a chance to win up to $2,500. Large or small, practical or whimsical, any Quikrete mix will do. The bag is the limit. Open to legal residents of the United States and Puerto Rico 18 years of age or older. Void where prohibited. Promotion ends October 8th, 2021. For official rules and complete details, visit quikrete.com/one-bag-wonder.
Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Then take our easy-to-understand practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading the Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have access to the latest tips, tricks, and answers to your home improvement questions. It's like having Danny Lipford and his crew right there with you while you work. Subscribe to the Today's Homeowner podcast today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn more.
Metal roofing is durable, low maintenance, and energy efficient, making it one of the best choices for today's homeowners. They often last 50 plus years and can protect your home from extreme weather. With styles and colors to suit every taste, metal roofing is definitely worth considering. Want to learn more about metal roofing or find a contractor near you? Check out the Metal Roofing Alliance at metalroofing.com. While you're there, be sure to enter the Metal Roofing Rave sweepstakes and you could win a $100 Home Depot gift card. Visit metalroofing.com today. In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI. Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I want to encourage you to sign up for our weekly e-newsletter. It's very, very easy and completely free. All you have to do is go to todayshomeowner.com/newsletters, and you'll receive some great information each and every week in your inbox. We have a lot of people that are relying on that information each week, and why don't you join us, and you'll see why everybody is talking about the Today's Homeowner newsletter. Right now, we're going to go to the Today's Homeowner hotline and see if we can help out Ashley in Georgia.
Hey, Danny and Joe. My husband and I keep having issues with black mold on our back deck. I've tried Clorox, Wet and Forget, and also painted multiple coats of deck paint, but it keeps coming back. Any last suggestions before I end up starting over? Thanks.
Okay, certainly, Ashley. Well, that can be a problem. You know, one of the things, well, let's tackle what's causing the mold in the first place. You know, you've got excessive moisture and you probably have shady conditions. So, you know, sun's just not getting in there and air's just not able to dry everything out. And of course, you're going to have a perfect condition for mold to form. Now, painting over existing mold or mold spores is not going to help. That's going to come right back up through the paint. And Joe, you know, a lot of people will automatically use regular chlorine bleach. That's not always. It might provide you some immediate results, but no residual effect at all.
Right. The problem with chlorine bleach, and we've mentioned this before, Danny, is that it evaporates so quickly, it doesn't get a chance to kill the mold spores, which are deep down into the wood or paint in this case. And so what happens, of course, is they grow back. That's why we recommend oxygen bleach. Typically comes in a powder, mix it with hot water and put it on, mop it on, keep it wet for a while. And that will kill the mold and hopefully not, because it doesn't evaporate as quickly, it usually kills the mold spores, which is really important. But since this is really sounds like a problem that Ashley's been fighting for a while, if that doesn't, ordinarily that would work. If it fails, then she's going to have to go to like an industrial grade mold killer. And one that I've had great success with, it's called RMR 86 Pro. I'm not sure what RMR stands for, but maybe it's named the company or something, but it's RMR 86 Pro Instant Mold Stain Remover. Hmm. And it's not cheap. A gallon's about $30 or so, but it's 5 times stronger than other stain removers. She said she tried a couple other stain removers. This stuff is 5 times stronger. If that doesn't work, then I don't know what to tell her. As you said, the conditions exist. It might create mold no matter what you do to it. But if you try something that'll kill it and you have to use it 2 or 3 times a year, maybe that's not the end of the world.
That's right. And also, you know, an antimicrobial spray is something you can consider. I'll tell you, a lot of people, with all the flooding that has taken place over the last few years, people realize that, you know, Clorox and chlorine bleach just doesn't do, you know, the long-lasting effects in combating mold. So you can go to Home Depot and look for antimicrobial spray. And as Joe mentioned, it might be just something you spray on 2 or 3 times a year in order to keep that mold from coming back. Now, if you're having to repaint or you're painting something and you want to make take that extra step to prevent that mold, I would strongly recommend using a mildicide additive to every gallon of paint. One brand is M1 mildicide, and it's, I don't know what it costs these days, maybe $4 or something, and you mix it in with the paint, and there again, it's working inside the chemical makeup of the paint to repel that growth of mold. So one of those things there could probably help, Ashley. And also, if you have, you know, be able to trim a few limbs back to get more sun in there, you'll be surprised the impact that will have.
The other thing, Danny, is we don't usually recommend painting a deck at all.
That's right.
Because, you know, that wood's going to expand and contract no matter how good the paint is, how well you put it down. You know, it's going to wind up cracking and blistering. And then what? And then you have to start scraping and peeling and sanding off paint. I mean, who wants to do that? So we don't even recommend like a solid color stain for the same reason. So a semi-transparent stain or clear wood preservative is usually what we would recommend. But you're right. At this point, she has to just try to clean it. And if she can get it clean and it stays clean for a few months, then maybe that's the way you go. You just clean it every couple of months.
There we go. And again, we'll remind you, you can send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Harriet from South Carolina did. And she says, my home was built in 1921, has a big concrete porch that extends across the whole front of the house. What type flooring would you suggest I put down over the concrete porch? Also, I'm considering screening in the same porch. What type of screening would be best? Well, there's several different things you can do, but you should explore some concrete stain. For very much the same reasons Joe was just talking about, not using paint on a deck. Stain will allow that material to kind of soak down into the pores of the concrete. You still would have an anti-skid surface, and you can create some beautiful looks by doing that. Another step is porcelain tile, similar to ceramic, but porcelain tile has the color all the way through and is recommended for outside uses. That's another great way to go, and those are probably the best ways to go for long-lasting effect and looks on that front porch. As far as screen, there are so many different types of meshes that are available. What you want to look at is you may want to darken it down a little bit and provide some solar screening. That would be a thicker screen that's readily available. But if you're just trying to worry about insects, you can go with a lighter colored fiberglass screen that'll still allow plenty of that air circulating in between. Hey, Joe, how about a quick tease on that simple solution you have coming up?
Okay, I've got a tip for when you're working by yourself and you're trying to assemble parts or hold parts that are large and you need to hold them vertically. Mm-hmm. I have a way to do that without asking anybody else's help.
All right, I'm sure you've thought of a situation around your house where that would have been awfully handy. So stick around for that simple solution and a lot more here on today's Homeowner Radio.
Looking to update the look of your fireplace mantle? I've got just what you need at checkinginwithchelsea.com. Just search for fireplace plans for free printable plans. Then watch my how-to video of this simplistic but sophisticated design, and you're on your way to building your own fireplace mantle too. I can't wait to see what you build, so be sure to share your mantles by tagging me on social media. I'm at checkinginwithchelsea. Again, the plans and video are online now at checkinginwithchelsea.com.
In older homes with old electrical wiring, the hazards you don't see may be the most dangerous ones. Loose wiring connections or damaged wires can cause arcing or sparks that may lead to a fire. The solution is an arc fault circuit interrupter, or AFCI. Leviton offers AFCI outlets and circuit breakers that detect hazardous arc faults and interrupt the power, reducing the likelihood of an electrical fire. Learn more at leviton.com/AFCI.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust Tight Bond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, Tight Bond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. Tight Bond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit TightBond.com or see them on Facebook.
The sound of you doing is music to our ears. Order on the Home Depot app and get same-day delivery, so you don't have to stop doing when you need something. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. This is the time of the show during this hour that we allow Joe Truini to share with us yet another simple solution. What do you have, Joe?
All right, Danny, like many do-it-yourselfers, I'm often working by myself when I'm trying to assemble something or build something, and often you need an extra set of hands just to hold a piece vertical. Now, and this works really well with a large piece, something that's hard to just, it won't stand up by itself. And all you need are a couple of long bar clamps or pipe clamps. And all you do is you simply tighten one clamp onto the bottom corner of the workpiece, and then you take another clamp and you put it on the opposite corner. But the trick is to have them pointing in opposite directions. And now, just those two clamps clamped onto the bottom corners will hold the piece upright. Might not be perfectly vertical, mm-hmm. but you're just trying to get it to hold upright. But again, the key is the clamps have to obviously be pointing different directions. If they're pointing the same direction, it could still fall over on one side. Mm-hmm. And that's it. So you clamp these on there, and you can easily move it around because you're not clamping it to anything. Right, if you need to move the workpiece around, the clamps are just on the workpiece, and it'll stabilize it. And then you drill the hole, or you sand it, or put on the next piece, whatever you're doing to it, assemble it, and then disconnect the clamps, and you're ready to move on to the next step.
Boy, that could come in handy in a lot of situations. It reminds me of an email I got a while back, and just thinking about it, there are a lot of tricks when you're working by yourself because you're challenged with holding up the other end of a piece of wood or different
right.
things like this. And a guy was telling me, one of our listeners was telling me about how he was hanging crown molding. Right. And, you know, he was coping the joints together. So he had one end that would just butt up to the wall, and then he would cope to it. So, but he still, it was 16 foot long. He couldn't hold it up. And he didn't want to lean something against, you know, the wall or anything. Well, he had some large suction cups that he had used when he was replacing a large piece of glass window.
Right.
He cut a notch out of the handle so that he could put the suction cup on the wall up high. He hooked the crown molding in on that side, and then he was able to start nailing from the other side. He said he has used that little thing over and over and over. Yeah. And another time he was talking about using it where he had a little small bungee cord that he would wrap around. He was working on a porch or something with a post, and he wrapped that same little thing around with a bungee cord and used it to hold the other piece of lumber up. Now, naturally, it wouldn't hold up a 2x12 or 2x10 or anything like that, but a piece of trim or something like that. I thought that was a pretty clever idea using suction cup.
Yeah, it's not it's often not something that's so heavy you can't hold it up.
That's
just
right.
Long,
yeah, it's just so
or it's you're at an awkward angle. You just need something. You could, if you had a 5-year-old, it would work.
Right.
You know, but there's never a 5-year-old around when you need them. So
right.
You know, you have to figure out something else.
A lot of different ways that you can solve a lot of problems, and a lot of them are very simple. So I'd encourage you to drop by todayshomeowner.com/simple-solutions, and you'll get wrapped up in that binge watching, because there's over 560-second videos showing you all kinds of things that you can do around your house to solve those different problems. Well, that'll pretty much wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. But if you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, no worries. You can still go to todayshomeowner.com/listen/radio so that you don't miss a thing that'll be happening in the second hour. And also, don't forget about our podcast, todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lippert, along with my co-host Joe Truini. Thank you so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.